ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba ba.
I hate to cut the music short, but we've got celebrities awaiting. On our celebrity hotline right now, Kyle Mooney, who you know and love from Saturday Night Live and is the co-writer and star of a new movie called Brigsby Bear. He joins us along with Dave McCrary, also involved with Saturday Night Live, and the director of the exact same movie, Brigsby Bear. Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How are you? I'm good. What's going on?
We're sorry because of the inclement weather, your plane was held up, and we're sorry about that. We wanted to meet you guys in person.
I know. It's all my fault.
You can't take all the blame. It's not all your fault. Part of it's your fault, but you can't take all the blame. That's unfair.
Well, thank you. I'm relieved, and I can live my life.
And, you know, we can't even go see you at Thalia Hall tonight because it's a sold-out show. Congratulations.
We could maybe put you on the guest list.
Oh,
there's a way.
Look at that.
There's a way.
So
yeah, no, it's exciting. Yeah, we're happy to be out here.
Guys, I saw the movie last night, and first of all, congratulations, because I can't even begin to imagine the feeling you must get to think up something, to just have an idea, and then a long time later, I don't even want to say a short time, because I know it takes forever to make a movie, but it's a reality. What does that feel like? That's just got to be amazing.
I mean, it's surreal. I think the idea of making a movie, it seems incredible, and it's something I think we've wanted to do since we were kids. And Dave and I have known each other since we were like 10 years old.
I know. I love that part of the story. That is the cutest thing ever.
I think you're cute.
But Kyle,
but that is the best part is that I got to make it with my best friend.
Oh. You're making us melt.
Our other friends are, too.
I feel everything's all lollipops and rainbows and stickers right now.
Yeah.
That's how I live my life.
But, you know, I said this earlier. I'm trying to envision what that pitch meeting was like, because this is a very offbeat story. This is not the kind of story you see every day. So what was that like when you're in a room full of possible investors and convincing them that this is a movie they want to spend some money on? What was that day like? Do you remember?
Well, fortunately, they would just read the script, so we don't really have to pitch it to them. They more wanted to hear like what the tone of the script that they just read would be like if we were going to go super broad with it and make it like a really silly, overly digestible comedy. And I think that they're just interested in like what the approach was, because a lot of people really responded to how unique and heartwarming the script was, but our pitch was always just we want to do this as sincerely as possible and not lean too heavy into the jokes, and that the jokes will come, but we just wanted to play it very sincere and honest.
Yeah.
We're talking about Brigsby Bear. It opens in New York and L.A. on July 28th, and then you can see it here in Chicago on August 4th. I know it premiered at Cannes, or do you say Cannes? Sundance, and I'm just thinking you're two friends that have known each other since you're 10 years old. You make this movie. Is it all of a sudden a reality that someone is seeing what you guys did together and their reaction? Was that kind of weird to watch people react to that?
Sure. It's always weird. There's a scene in the movie where the main character is watching his own creation on screen and kind of wondering how it will turn out and how the audience will react. And Dave and I, the first time the movie premiered in Sundance, sat there the exact same way, just kind of frightened to death that people would not like me.
Not even the movie, Kyle, but you directly.
Yeah, I'm a very self-involved person, if you haven't noticed.
But you're thinking of something. It's like what you think is funny between you and a friend, is it going to translate well to others?
Absolutely, yeah.
And fortunately, I think we always made this for us and for our friends, and obviously hoped that it would translate to a wider audience. But at the end of the day, we had so much fun making it, and if just our friends enjoyed it and no one else, I think we would have still felt fulfilled.
You know, years ago, you guys are a couple years younger than Wendy and myself, but years ago there was a story about Sylvester Stallone trying to sell Rocky, and they kept saying, we want to buy Rocky, but we don't want you to play Rocky. Did anyone ever say, hey, we like the script, but we really want, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson to play the character James?
Never directly to my face, but I'm pretty sure they were thinking it the entire time.
Yeah.
It is true. I'm contrary to my own belief, not a matinee star or anything like that. So to get money was the difficult part, was just like, you know, are there people who want to pay to go see a Kyle Mooney movie? And we have yet to find out. But I think that everybody on board, our producers, you know, they truly loved the script and the concept, and I think they trusted us, which kind of we're, I think, forever thankful for.
Yeah. I know you don't want to give too much away, and I don't blame you, because as I'm watching the movie last night, I say, I'm glad I don't know too much about this. I just want it to unfold in front of me. What do you want to say to people? What should they know going in?
Story-wise, what I'll say is it's about a guy who's obsessed with a children's TV show called Briggsby Bear Adventures, and then in essence, one day the show ends, and his whole life that he's lived up to this point, he kind of finds out that it's completely different than he imagined, and he enters an entire new world that he's never known. But I guess, generally speaking, you know, this is a movie about friendship, about following your kind of creative pursuits, and I think most people walk away feeling like it's a sweet kind of love letter to filmmaking and to meeting people. I don't know, Dave, do you want to add anything to that?
I thought it was a perfect explanation.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, Kyle, watching you and Dave McCary, Kyle Mooney and Dave McCary on the line with us, we're talking about Briggsby Bear, which opens in Chicago on August 4th. You know, some of the stuff you guys do on SNL, I don't see you as being 100% sweet. Was this the way you wanted to go originally?
I don't know. I think when I co-wrote the movie with my friend Kevin Costello, who incidentally also went to middle school with Dave and I, it truly is a friendly affair. I don't know if, but that's how the story came out. It came out as this sweet thing, and I think we just kind of ran with it, and it felt good, and it feels nice to put something kind of warm out there into the world.
Absolutely. We need some of that these days.
There's a couple of moments, guys, where you, Kyle, your character, James, all of a sudden, even though he's kind of disenfranchised from the world around him, he's accepted by a kid at a party, and he's got his sister's acceptance, and all of a sudden you just see it on his face, like, now this is what life should be like. You just get this jubilant look on your face, and both those moments are among my favorites in the film. You know what I'm referring to, right?
Yeah, definitely.
No, they don't know, Bill.
I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. I watched it. You guys should watch it. It's great.
Yeah, we really like the idea that the film does not have a lot of cynicism, and there's no real villains necessarily. It's really a film that I guess teaches maybe someone how to treat another person with, you know, respect, and to accept outsiders and just embrace people's differences, which I think is, yeah, always something that can be relevant to the times, especially in our current society.
In our tumultuous world we're living in right now. These are good messages and everything, and this isn't a slam. I haven't seen it yet. I hope to see it tonight. Briggsby Bear, we're talking about. What about, this is something that could they show it in schools to help to foster friendship and just being kind to one another?
Well, unfortunately,
we would just have to take out a couple of scenes.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
There's a few, we wanted also the film to have some realism and to mirror the, you know, the actual high school experience. And, unfortunately, there's some, racy realities of that experience that I think for, it's a PG-13 movie, so I wouldn't recommend anyone under 13.
You're not allowed to see it if you're under 13.
You get arrested on the spot. Nobody wants that. Can I tell you what it was reminiscent? And please believe me when I tell you this is a huge compliment. Jodie Foster made a movie a couple of years ago called The Beaver with Mel Gibson. Have you guys seen that?
I remember it. I never saw it, though.
There is some kind of the same kind of charm that that movie had where you go, boy, I don't know exactly why I'm rooting for this person, but I am. And I felt that all through the movie because your character, the character of James is so unique and you just find yourself kind of just wanting to go, hey, everything's going to be okay. I know you're probably tired of hearing this, but the character is sort of a man child. He's stuck between being a man and a child. But you want this guy to succeed so badly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I gotta check out that movie. And I also want to point out that I, Kyle Mooney, am not a man child.
No.
No, but Bill Leff is, which is really why I think you related to this movie so much, because it sounds like, you know, we all had these great recollections and memories of our childhood. And, you know, God, I love television and I did back then. It just sounds like this is something so relatable to each and every one of us.
Yeah, Wendy, you got to go see it.
I'm seeing it tonight.
See it tonight. See it tonight.
I can't wait. But you know what I mean? It's like we all kind of want to hold on to our childhood in a certain way. In fact, do you still watch children's shows now, Kyle?
Totally. I'm wearing a Snoopy shirt and wearing a Tasmanian devil hat as we get driven to the hotel, and that is the truth.
Awesome.
Guys, go on. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just very, I'm very much in touch with my childhood.
Yeah.
I should rescind that comment that I'm not a man child because I think I actually am.
And it's okay. I mean, it's like once you hit 50, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've hit it a couple years over. And you don't want to get old. I mean, our parents at 50 were old. We're not.
Totally.
Yeah. The supporting cast is incredibly impressive. Mark Hamill's in there. Greg Kinnear is in there. Michaela Watkins is in there. Jane Alexander's in there. And my friend Matt Walsh plays your dad.
Your buddies with Matt?
Yeah, I've known him forever. I love him.
Oh, he's such a sweet, wonderful man.
He's funny. He's got the dramatic chops. And, yeah, he's, like, such a rad person and was such a delight to have on set.
Yeah. Most people know him from Veep, but he's been in like 50 or 60 movies, and he's just so good at what he does. Kyle, I have to ask you a Saturday Night Live question. There's a running character you play that's a stand-up comic. He shows up on Update, and he's a little smarter than the room. Now, I did stand-up for 10 years, and I know a dozen guys that are that guy. Did you pattern that after one particular guy or a bunch of guys?
You know, no, I don't know. There's one specific guy. Yeah, the character is Bruce Chandlin.
Yeah.
And, no, I think it was just like kind of, you know, coming up when I first kind of started doing live shows, I would go, you know, our roommate hosted a stand-up show at the basement of a hotel. So I'd get to see a lot of people kind of coming in and out. And I think it was just kind of observing the way people tell jokes.
There's this subtle move you do anytime you do Bruce, where you're telling a joke that's not doing well, but you're nodding like, this is so cool that only I get it. And I love that.
It's confidence, baby.
Yeah.
Kyle, I got to ask you, I bet Leslie Jones feels slighted being your girlfriend and all, that she's not in Brigsby Bear, is she?
It's not something I enjoy talking about because, yes, there's trouble in paradise.
Oh, no. You know, Bill and I have watched probably every episode of Saturday Night Live since its inception, and we continue to watch it. I have teenage boys who love it. Your 20-year-old daughters watch it.
Yeah.
It's kicking ass. That's all I got to say, and it's so nice to see you on it. Dave, you're part of it, too, so great work.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Well, above and beyond all else, it's a fun movie, Brigsby Bear, and I think you'll both agree. It's a movie that will surprise you because you think you have it figured out and you don't have it figured out. And I was saying to Wendy earlier, one of the best things about this movie is there's no way in the world you can predict where it's going. So many movies are so formulaic and yours is not. You've really pulled that off. It's a fun movie. So congrats on getting this done, you guys.
Thank you so much. We're excited for people to see it, and we hope they like it.
And you know, we're really we are very conscious of, and have been since the beginning, of making sure that people go in kind of in the dark, because it's really fun to be on the journey with the main character and really not know anything that he doesn't know, and that just makes for a more fun viewing experience.
Cannot wait to see it. It's called Brigsby Bear. It opens in New York and L.A. on July 28th, in Chicago on August 4th. And you guys both at Thalia Hall tonight, sold-out show at 8:30 p.m. What can we expect tonight?
You know, we're going to I'll be doing some characters. We'll be showing some videos. Our good friend Nick Rutherford will be doing a stand-up set to open. It's going to be fun. It's just, you know, we've done a couple of them. We were in Washington, D.C. last night. And just, I guess, if you're a fan of our work, I think you'll really enjoy it. And if you're not a fan of our work, there's going to be a lot of references you're not going to understand.
Or like.
We'll still have a good time. I think I can guarantee that.
Will you seat the audience specifically as to whether or not they are fans of your work or not? Will you have one section where people really adore you and another where they're indifferent toward
you? Like the bride and groom side?
Yeah,
kinda?
Do that.
Okay, I'll mark the chairs when I go on for my temporary.
That'll be perfect.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you guys. If you're in the city and you have time to come see us, please do. In the meantime, everybody go see Brigsby Bear. We need some niceness in our lives right now. It comes to Chicago August 4th. Be on the lookout for it. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you, guys. Sorry we missed you in the studio, buddy. Yeah, we'd love to come by next time.
We'd love it. Thanks, guys. Good luck with everything.
Take care.
That's Kyle Mooney and Dave McCary. And again, the movie is called Brigsby Bear, a very, very offbeat comedy, very peculiar film, very original movie. If you like things that are a little off the beaten track, this is a good one. So,
and a good testament to this is, really, you've been seeing movies lately that you have not been very impressed with.
True.
And, you know, you'll see something. What'd you think? This one you did
disappointed.
Not.
I was not disappointed. No, it really, it offered up a lot. All right, we'll take a little break, and then, speaking of offering up a lot, Judy Pilas will give you the news. That's coming up in just a minute. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You know, they're going to want to start a pay service.
Well, that
they're gonna
was
wanna
one
start,
of,
you
yeah,
know that.
One of our listeners suggested that I work for the 900
Oh.
Do they still have those?
Apparently. He
I
knew about
do.
Them.
I think they do.
Yeah. Needless to say, consider. A lot of the texts were from men.
How has that changed? Because, you know, is it the Aerosmith song that they call a number and it's this really sexy voice, but in reality it's like a woman ironing? I can't remember what video that is. But now with the 900 numbers, can't you just Skype it?
There's internet. Yeah, why would you ever call that
right.
number? I mean,
I can't imagine just hearing, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't think anyone uses those anymore. They can have
the times
video.
Are changing.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Because you can see anything you want on the internet now. What?
Absolutely.
I don't think a 900 number is as exciting.
Sometimes, as part of my job, I type something in innocuously and woo!
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Something comes up, and of course we all gather around and look, and then I click it off.
Judy Pilex, woo, woo, weather.
Right. Right. Thanks, Judy.
See ya.
When you were in school, I don't know if this was just regional by me, or if this was more statewide or nationwide, but was there a rumor about the number horny 81? Like, if you called?
Yes.
So what was the rumor at your school? If you were to call this phone number...
Well, the weird thing is, it was my phone number.
Oh, it was your home phone number?
So I didn't get the joke.
You just got a busy signal. It must be on the line.
I don't know what the rumor was to it, other than people would go, oh, whatever you do, don't call this
right.
number.
Right.
So, of course, you'd go call it.
Yeah.
Let's try it now.
Now, we were all, I don't think that's enough numbers. It's just seven numbers.
Well,
you need more.
There's a 312 horny 81. There's a 708 horny 81.
Oh, you got to do the prefix. All right. Because back then, I mean, I know, at the risk of sounding like a caveman, you didn't have to call a prefix. You just called a regular seven-digit number, and you got through to somebody. Now it tells you you need a prefix first. But ours was, the rumor was, if you called that, a prostitute would answer.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
My God, don't Google search horny 81, because the things that come up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't unsee these things.
Nobody, none of my friends were brave enough. Now, it's ridiculous because it's a phone number. And either depending on who you are, best or worst case scenario, you would call the number. And yes, a prostitute would answer. That would be the absolute best or worst. But everybody would start to dial in. It's like, I can't do this. I'm too afraid. I can't go through with this.
But look at the difference between kids today and us. Now. We were scared to do anything.
I know.
We really were.
Yeah. Yep.
Horny 81 phone number in grade school. Let me see what comes up with
that. See what comes up.
You just Googled that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
What did you think, Kevin?
Well, I just, you know, I'm commenting on her Google search history.
Yeah. Well, I can promise you that's not in the top 100 weird things that's on Wendy's Google. I bet that's probably the one that Google goes, really? Is that all? I got an easy day ahead of me.
I'm telling you, Horny 81 has completely exploded into something else because there is no innocent little Horny 81 phone
not
number.
Anymore.
Again, the things I'm getting now with this.
Can I ask why the number 81?
I know another number you were probably thinking would be more beneficial.
There's a more seductive number that would have made sense, but what was it about the number 81? It wasn't 1981. This was prior to that. So there must have been some reason somebody said, let's have this fake phone number that will perpetrate the myth that a prostitute will answer. Well, why the 81?
80 was probably taken, or I don't know.
Why would 80 be taken?
Maybe somebody already got to
it. I don't know.
But why would that be good?
I don't know why that would be good.
Why are you? Do you know I'm a girl? Sometimes
yeah.
You forget. Don't
no,
you have
I know.
Any friends you were friends with in grade school that you could ask them?
They won't. They no.
They're not taking your calls.
They refuse to take my calls. They refuse to take my calls.
What if you? What if your return phone call number is Horny 81? Would they answer then?
They'd be too afraid. I can't tell you the fear that
I know.
It would. Like there were guys that got through the five letters and made, you know, very tentatively hit the eight, and then it's like, don't do it. Are you kidding? It'll be on public record. And that was even before there was no caller ID back then.
No, it was the rotary dial.
It was the rotary dial. Right.
And God, that was just such a pain if you had somebody with nines or zeros in their number, because you had
Took
to wait forever.
There were people we didn't talk to because they had a nine or a zero in their phone number.
I believe it.
I'm not calling Jerry. It'll take forever.
I went till four, and then anything was cut off after that.
Right.
Because even five was a little long.
Right. Right.
Do you even know what a rotary phone is, Kevin?
I think like my family's my earliest memory of having a phone might have been a rotary, or my grandparents. I can't remember, but yeah.
I bet grandparents, because I'm sure your parents had a touch tone. I remember when we got our first touch tone phone. It was like
we're the Jetsons.
I know. Oh my God, this is amazing. And you would like pick it up, and I don't know if you did this, but I would pick it up just to listen to the tones,
right?
Because I was completely amazed by it.
You could play a song on there, but then you'd call Bolivia.
Or Horny 81.
Their version of Horny 81 Bolivia. Hello? Oh, no. This is going to cost a fortune. Also, not that this was better, but you could make prank phone calls all day because no one could trace it. Now, try making a prank phone call now. People they'll know it's you.
Well, what is it, star 69 or star 67?
One of those two, I can't remember.
One of those two will make it so it'll say private caller so they don't know who it is. I still make the prank calls.
You still
calls.
Do the prank calls?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we used to get prank phone calls, and I knew it was Charles Vance. Charles, I know it's you. You don't know it's me. Yeah, well, you just verified it by saying that.
I know I've told you this before, and I really 100% mean this. On New Year's Eve every year, I used to call the operator. My mom made me stay home. Even, I think, maybe sophomore year, I got to go out on New Year's Eve. But it's like we'd have our green grapes, which was a tradition my grandma started. It means,
prosperity.
You're going to have a lot of money this year.
Yeah.
And I never really noticed an abundance of money, but then I thought the one year I don't have it, then I'll notice.
You should have called.
So at midnight, I would do the rotary dial phone and wait, and the director assistance, may I help you? Or this is the operator. Yes, I'm just calling to wish you a happy new year. And she was taken aback and completely confused because one time somebody said, thank you. What can I do for you? Do you need a number or something? Like, no, I'm just calling to say Happy New Year.
And how old were you?
This probably started... I didn't have a lot of friends.
Were you in grade school or high school?
Oh, I was in grade school.
In grade school.
Yeah, and I did have a lot of friends, but I was stuck home on New Year's Eve. And
this was right at the stroke of
midnight. Oh, yeah. We'd say happy birthday to my family, and then the next person would
be
the operator.
Gotta call the operator.
I did it, honestly, for probably... Probably 8 years.
How do we? I'm sorry. This is new to me. How do you call an operator?
Zero.
Just zero.
Just zero. So
just zero.
Does that work today too?
No.
Yes, it does.
Really?
You can just dial zero?
Can we try?
Yeah.
Sure.
What if the horny 81 lady answers? I've been so lonely. No one's called me in years.
That was so long ago that I bet the horny 81 lady is an operator.
I bet
she is 81 now.
I don't think this is going to work. Because zero, like, there's not somebody there, like, connecting the lines like there used to be anymore. I don't think.
Well,
you have to remind them that they're on the air and that New Year's Eve is coming. And that you'll call them back.
I don't know which number to hit. Like, is there a line out?
You have to dial 9 to get out.
You have to, yeah. Pick up the line, then hit go. You have to hit go. See the green go button?
Okay, now I have to hit 9 first?
No, you don't have to hit
You're
9.
Already out.
There's no 9. Yeah, now go.
Your call cannot be completed.
Oh.
Please check the number and dial again.
The number's horny 81.
You're going to get us in so much trouble. Yes, you are. The FCC is going to close this down. You can't be calling Horny 81 during the internet show.
That's the best time to do it.
I don't know.
I'm having flashbacks to when we called your the telemarketer guy that called you. Do you remember this like a year ago?
Yes, Bill, you got a call from, was it me?
I thought it was you.
You got a call from someone and you saved his number.
Yeah.
He was trying to say
some money
the IRS.
Scheme. Yeah, right.
He said, you know, you're going to be in jail if you don't pay these outstanding IRS bills.
Yeah.
And you wrote down his number and we called him on the air and...
He swore at me.
Yeah,
but at first it was like, he was kind of cool about it. Like, yeah, you're calling me back. What's up? And then I think we said you're on the radio somewhere and he's like, don't call me at this number again. And then he called you a swear word and hung up.
And I'm not saying the word he called me wasn't accurate.
But not for radio use.
I don't want to talk about it on the radio. No. No.
Are people still getting those?
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you, I feel bad that I erased this. I'm one of the few people, well, actually both of us still have a landline.
Yeah, right.
And I still have an answering machine on it, even though I don't even use it. I got to cut the umbilical cord.
I still have a milkman. The guy from Wanzer's brings me milk 3 days a week. I don't even drink milk.
We have like Sid DeBoer. He was our milkman.
Oh, is that your... Yeah, mm-hmm. Sid DeBoer
milk
was?
And eggs.
Yeah.
Who was yours?
The guy from Wanzer's.
I don't even know what that is.
That was legitimately, when we moved to Oak Forest, that was our milk company. They'd come by a couple days a week. And the best one was at Easter, because you could also order the
butter.
Well, you could get butter always.
The lamb butter?
Can't remember the lamb butter, but you could get, you know, the Easter egg coloring people, pies.
Oh, yeah.
You could get them.
Really?
Yeah, you could order your Easter egg needs through your milkman.
Did they color them for you?
No. We weren't rich, Wendy. We're just working class people.
I forgot what I was saying. Oh, my answering machine.
Yeah.
So I was clearing it off just to see if there was anything special, and Congressman Dan Lipinski...
Did he call you?
He did, but
this is Congressman Dan Lipinski. Is this Horny 81?
No, but I feel bad because there were two messages from Dan Lipinski, and one of them was, hi, this is he state representative?
I think so, yeah.
Dan Lipinski. Hello? Hi, this is, and he like restarted.
Why?
I don't know, because he obviously sometimes.
It's on a machine?
I erased it, but he must not have caught, I don't know, he got confused with his own little script.
Really?
So he, like, did a couple of false starts and then hung up, and then the next call was, hi, this is your state representative, Dan Lipinski.
A much more enthusiastic,
yeah, but
right?
I should have saved it because it just cracked me up, because it was like, hi, this is Dan Lipinski. Hello, hi, this is Dan Lipinski. It was really funny.
This was reminding you to get out there and vote?
I don't know what he was calling about.
You kept that a long time.
No,
recently?
Maybe it was from election
time. It was from a long time ago.
I don't remember what he was calling about. I was so busy laughing, I didn't listen to the message.
Did Abner Mikva call you?
No.
That would have been even longer ago.
I don't even know who that is, do I?
No.
Is that a joke for two listeners out there?
How long ago your campaign calls go?
Well, no, honestly.
Hi, this is John Quincy Adams.
No.
Vote for me in the upcoming election.
This was not that old. He wasn't calling about voting for him. He was calling about saying that something was going on in my district.
Oh, all right. Then that's perfectly acceptable.
But I felt bad that he had like a couple of false starts. It's like this thing is recording.
Right. Right.
Some people, Bill and I, still have answering machines.
Yeah.
The only two in the Chicago metro
area.
There's
not many left, but we're firm believers that they will come back strong, the answering machine. Speaking of creepy things, did you see this mayor in Canada who had pictures of townspeople all over his bathroom wall?
Okay, that's weird.
Isn't it weird?
And how do you go to the bathroom when you think your townsfolk are looking at you?
You know, there's so much about the story that's disturbing, but that is disturbing. I didn't even think about that angle. But the townspeople are not happy. I'll read you the story. The mayor of Whitechurch Stouffville is under fire after a Sun Tribune reporter discovered that his office bathroom is covered in photos of local townspeople in what Mayor Justin Altman called his own mind map. So here's a lesson to you, Wendy. If anybody ever catches on to the fact that you have pictures of local townspeople in your bathroom, just tell them it's your mind map and everything will be okay.
My mind map would be very different. It would be pizza, pictures of pizza.
Pictures of pizza, yeah.
Probably some alcohol of some point.
Right.
Pictures of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
That's what my mind map is.
Not
it's
just
way
locals.
Different.
Not just locals. Those on the CSI style wall. Now, let me explain that. Because the first time I read it, I'm like, I'm not sure what that means, but here's what it means. Many times on an episode of CSI, one of the detectives will want to solve the case, and he'll do it by using, like, a chalkboard. He'll put up pictures of people and go, well, this guy knows this guy, and he bought a gun from this guy gave him a ride. So they'll make, a trail, a picture trail. So That's what they're referring to. Those on the CSI-style wall, however, are calling it creepy. Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
If you're on that wall, you don't want to think about the mayor staring at you while he's going to the bathroom. Altman, who was elected in 2014, had his secret uncovered when the Sun Tribune reported it earlier this month. The photos include town employees, business people, counselors, and reporters. No radio people.
I'd be honored to be on that wall, actually.
It would be. We should send him our pictures.
Let's do that.
Let's
send him autograph pictures. Just say, hey, you know, in case there's a hole in your wall, you know.
Here's what I'm going to say. Wendy and I have not been fortunate enough to be in the Tribune Walk of Fame, but we would appreciate it if you would include us on your wall of fame in the bathroom.
All right.
I would like to
do that. Do we have pictures?
So, I'm sure there must be somewhere. There's got to be pictures of us somewhere. The mayor said the photos are related to this is where you can hear the backpedaling.
All right.
Listen to this. The mayor said the photos are related to a police investigation that has lasted for more than 2 years.
Of everyone in the town.
And I can only conduct this investigation whilst going to the bathroom. You know how investigations are. You can't just do them during office hours. You do them when you're going to the bathroom.
That's when you have time to think.
Right.
No one bothers you in there,
right.
Hopefully.
Some private time. He did not clarify what the investigation was about, however. Seems slightly suspect, doesn't it?
Yes.
York Regional Police would not confirm or deny any investigation, according to the publication. That's where you just go, yeah, I'm cutting bait. I don't know. This guy, he just likes having pictures up in the bathroom. He's investigating something. I don't know what it is. But I think we can all guess. Somebody on the council is leaking top secret information, the mayor told the Sun Tribune.
Mr. Whipple?
Right.
See the guy on the council?
Right.
And leaking information,
yeah,
I get it,
because
it's a bathroom.
So there's got to be a leak involved somewhere. He added that he has 40 binders and 5,000 emails in connection with his bathroom wall photo montage. Wow, this guy really keeps records. This is the most accurate record keeper of all time. However, I would tell him there's other rooms in the house or the office that you can conduct an investigation. It doesn't have to be in the bathroom.
Although, how many guys other than you, because I don't group you with most other guys, say I'm in my office right now?
I never say that.
But almost every other guy I
right.
know.
Or a lot of times you'll hear the library.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
So I'm in my, you know, I'll text Jim, where are you? In my office.
And that means the bathroom.
Right.
So when the mayor's anywhere in his office, he can say, I can't talk right now. I'm conducting an investigation. Then you can hear him winking on the answering machine. It's absolutely creepy, says Samantha Farrow.
It is.
I agree with, this is one time, Wendy, that I will agree with Samantha Farrow. In the past, she and I have never found common ground, but this time I agree with Samantha Farrow. It's absolutely creepy, she says.
Yet we weren't ready to send our pictures to this guy.
Right, to make it even creepier.
You know, we have a double play here. You guys still have those Bill and Wendy air fresheners.
Oh,
we could send him that.
From Tree Time.
We could definitely send him that.
All right, let's do it. We got to get his address.
Yeah. It's absolutely creepy, says Samantha Farrow, a longtime resident who runs a family business.
This guy's doing his business, too.
I was horrified when I saw my picture. I couldn't believe that my picture was on the bathroom wall in the mayor's office. I'm trying to think of, I mean, I know we're kidding about sending him a picture, but if you were informed, what if they said, hey, this is kind of weird. The mayor...
Rahm Emanuel has a picture of you and Bill.
Hanging somewhere in his office. Oh, that's quite an honor to be hanging in his office. Well, we're not finished. It's in his bathroom.
Right above the toilet.
Right. Mmm. That's when it gets creepy.
Would be worse if it was on the toilet. like all decoupaged. Where's the hodgepodge or modge podge? I gotta put these pictures on my toilet.
Right.
Or on the toilet seat. You know how they have like those toilet seats that are acrylic, but you see like pennies underneath them? It would be worse if he had them on the toilet seat.
The worst place would be on the like the porcelain inside part, like a bullseye. That would be the biggest of all insults.
Well, they're not waterproof.
No.
They'd just disintegrate.
They would disintegrate. So he would have to have a specially made toilet that somehow your picture is somehow emblazoned on the porcelain, and he would use that. That would be, of all possible scenarios, I think Samantha Farrow would agree, that's the worst of all. In the bathroom is bad,
but anywhere on
the backsplash, also bad, but inside, worse, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
That's where it gets... That's where
because he could flush you away.
Right.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
That's where you say, please, Mr. Mayor, please.
Aren't we more than a dead fish?
Right.
You don't flush us down.
No, we're not to be flushed down. Some respect, sir. My good mayor. I would not vote for this mayor. I would be done voting for him. All right, we have to take a break. Thanks, Judy, for not sticking around.
Although she did say she was busy and was needed in the newsroom.
Well, there's a lot of weather going on.
Right, but then she said, well, what are you guys talking about?
Right, she wanted to know.
Because maybe I can stay.
Right.
I guess she didn't like what we were talking about, Horny 81. That's what started this whole thing.
That's right. All right, a quick break, and then we'll close up shop. We'll take down the pictures. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, that's it for us for today. We'll be back tomorrow. The Thursday show should be a good one. Andy Santino, who got his start in stand-up here in Chicago and is now on the Showtime show that you love.
I'm dying up here. Is that really him? He looks so different. In the because it's from the 70s, so they got him with a full beard and 70s hair.
Yeah.
I love that show. Bill, you got to get Showtime and watch it.
I'm going to see it. I will definitely see it. But Andy Santino will be with us. What time, Kevin? Do we know what time?
He will be in at 10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m. 10:35 probably, because I'm guessing there will be some news.
Well, if we're getting technical, he'll probably arrive at 10:15 or
so. Yeah. All right.
And he's performing his stand-up in Schaumburg.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That should be good.
I love that show.
All that, and I think Dean Richards tomorrow also, right? Yeah? All right. So stay tuned for that, and thanks for joining us today. We're glad that you did. Thanks, Wendy. Bye.
See you, Bill.